Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Triangulation, episode 123, recorded October 9th, 2013. Hacker Scouts. Triangulation is brought to you by Lynda.com. Learn what you want when you want with access to over 2,000 high-quality online courses and training videos, all for one low monthly price. Try it free for 7 days. Visit lynda.com/triangulation. That's lynda.com/triangulation. It's time for Triangulation, the show where we get the greatest, most interesting people doing fascinating stuff and get to spend some time with them. And I hope they answer some of your questions. Thank you, by the way, to our great hosts who filled in for me. I know Iaz had a triangulation. Tom Merritt had. Did Sarah do a triangulation? So thank you, all three of them, for filling in for me while I was gone. But I'm back, and we've got a new one. In fact, this is going to be very interesting because we're going to talk about a new kind of, I don't want to use this word, scouting, the Hacker Scouts. And you'll see why I don't want to use the word in just a second. Joining us right now is Samantha Madelone Cook, who is Executive Director of Hacker Scouts. It's at hacker-scouts.org. Founder. She's a mentor. It is a program for young kids to learn to hack. Is that right?
It is. Hacking in its purest form is really just the modification of something to make it do what you want it to do. So you can hack anything.
Welcome.
And so we teach kids how to do that. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. I should start right away because I know that you've been sued by the Boy Scouts of America who say, we own the word scouts.
Well, technically we weren't sued, but we were challenged by them.
They threatened you.
We did. Yes, we did get threatened. The last of which their letter clearly stated that we had 7 days to change or they would be filing.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to change the name?
Our board decided to go ahead and change the name. We knew that there would be disappointed people who really wanted us to fight this. But in the end, this isn't a discrimination case. This is a trademark case.
Right.
And we had already expended so much time and energy on it, and we really couldn't spend the next year having it pull us away from our vision and our mission.
Absolutely.
And what was most important to us is our kids.
Yes.
And so we decided that the substance of what we do is our actions and what we put out there. And so it didn't really matter what we were called, and so we decided to let it go.
Yeah. Boy, it's a tough one. I think you made the right choice because you're exactly right. This is just a distraction. The name is not as important. So have you decided on a new name?
We have a very short list, and we're going to be making that announcement within the next couple weeks.
Okay. Because I don't want people to watch this, and in a couple of weeks go, there's no Hacker Scouts. They're gone. They're
not
gone.
We will be posting it everywhere. We will have all of our URLs redirecting.
Oh,
so
good.
Whenever that change happens, don't worry. You'll still be able to find us.
Good. So you can still use hacker-scouts.org to get there. But just so you know now, and that's what I wanted to say right up front, it may not have that name when you go to the website. So where are Hacker Scouts? How can people get involved? Tell me all about it. First of all, what age group is this for?
Well, really, we have all ages.
Wait a minute. Can an old man like me be a Hacker Scout?
You could come and be a Hacker Scout.
All right.
So I should start with saying how we actually got started.
Yeah.
We started in Oakland, and my background is education. I was a museum educator, and I've been teaching since I was 16, and I'm a maker, I'm an artist, and I married a geek. So I got into technology at some point, and we have three kids, and we kept being involved in making and family-oriented activities, but nothing was really filling the need. And we saw over and over, not only our children, but our friends' children really wanting to build their skills and get to larger projects, but there was no outlet for them to do that. There were these projects that were designed to have them follow directions or come up with an end product, but nothing actually supporting their own vision.
Right.
And that individualized learning was really important to me. So in the spirit of the maker movement, I said, okay, I'm going to do this myself. And that's how Hacker Scout
that is awesome. And I think for a lot of parents, it's where you really do want your kids to be doing this hands-on stuff and to learn these skills. But if you don't have the skills, if you lack it, you can get a copy of Make Magazine, maybe do a few projects. But it would be really nice to have some sort of organization to support you so that it's not just Maker Faire once a year, that you can really do something on a regular basis. I love this idea. Have you spread beyond Oakland? It's Oakland, California, we should mention. Have you spread beyond Oakland, California?
Yes. So since we started a year ago, we have about 30 locations around the U.S. now with groups that have started up using our model and are affiliated with us. And that's really exciting. What we found was that parents wanted support and mentors wanted support, not only if they didn't know how to have this, they didn't know the skills or they didn't know how to teach the skills, but even if they're makers themselves, often they were intimidated by teaching it to kids and how do they do that? How do they approach it?
Right.
So having this structure in place that not only helps them and gives them the tools that they need to teach the kids, but also we have regular trainings where if they don't know how to do it, we're going to teach them how to do it so that they can mentor the kids. All of that has been really helpful in building up these communities and helping the kids achieve their goals.
And would you eventually like to spread all over the world? I imagine you would. I mean, this is such a great idea.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I actually am talking to a couple of organizations in England and Sweden who are going to be starting up groups. So we are expanding in that way.
I have a feeling that this is going to take off like gangbusters. You're only a year old. I think this is just going to take off. This is what parents want for their kids. This is what kids want to do. The MAKE movement is incredible, and having that kind of support. Before we go much further, I want to ask about the program and so forth and the things that you do. And I want to show some stuff, too, because a 9-year-old kid made this, and I don't even know what – I can't even figure out how it works. But we're going to talk about that in a second. But before we do, we should mention you have a Kickstarter project, and I would really like it during this show if we could put you over the top. You want to build your a lab, a hackerspace in your Oakland headquarters. Is that right?
Right. We're based in Oakland, so we have a headquarters, and we've been partnered with an adult hackerspace, but we don't have a lot of accessibility, and the equipment is not always working right, or we don't have access to it. And so we decided to open up our own space and build out a model of what a hackerspace could look like if it was devoted to kids and family.
Mm.
So
this would also be a prototype, a reference for other hackerspace.
Right. So we are documenting.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're documenting the entire process, and we're going to be releasing that open source on our website. So anybody who wants to build something like this can look at our notes and hopefully learn from our journey. The other part of it is, while it's definitely allowing us to expand locally, I have over 100 kids on my wait list that I need to get into programs. It also is a place where we prototype all the activities and badges that we release for everybody else. So it actually is a national space. It's not just an Oakland space.
Ah, excellent. Well, if people go to Kickstarter and search for Hacker Scouts Oakland Lab, you can see it. Now, there's not a lot of time left. There's only a few days left. You're looking for $35,000, and if my math is correct, you're $520 short. So I'll tell you what. Let me put in $100 right now, and maybe we can get our viewers to kick in whatever they can kick in and put you over the top before the show is over. I'd really like to do that
because
I think this
wonderful.
Is really neat. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, this is a great idea. So tell me a little bit about the program. You know, I was in Cub Scouts. We had weekly meetings. In fact, in Cub Scouts was, at least in my year, it was a little bit makery. You would build things. You had the soapbox derby and stuff like that. And that was all kind of about learning this kind of thing. Is it similar to that?
Actually,
what do you do?
We actually looked at a different model when we looked at the structure of Hacker Scouts. We looked more towards the guild model, which is apprenticeship and mentoring. Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts is a little bit more modeled after the military and ranking.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't actually follow their model. So our program started with Open Lab. Open Lab is an autonomous, open-to-the-public event where kids and their families come in. It's not drop-off, so the parents stay and everybody makes together. And I usually have 3 or 4 activities running. I've balanced it out in terms of learning style. I've balanced it out in terms of interest. So no matter who comes in, I know there'll be something for them to do, something that is new to them.
So you're always available. You're always open, or no?
No. This is an event that runs twice a month.
Got it. Okay.
And then we noticed very quickly that there were kids who really wanted to go deeper with their learning. And that requires a little bit more structure and a little bit more attention. So we opened the Guild program, which is ages 8 to 15-ish. And then we also have a teen group in that as well. So we actually go in that group 8 to 18. And it follows the structure of building up the kids' confidence and building up their skills and allowing them to individualize and control their own education. So they are choosing which badges they want to, but unlike other programs, we're mentoring them through the process so we can see what they're getting, what they're not getting, and how it gets them to their larger goals. Sometimes it's skills that they just want in the moment. I'm, you know, interested in soldering right now at this moment. Sometimes it's a larger vision that they have, like they want to build an autonomous robot by themselves, or my favorite example is always the fire-breathing metal pig another kid wants to build.
How old was that kid?
He is 13.
Of course, he's a teenager, yeah.
I won't.
And did he build a fire-breathing metal pig?
He's on his way. he is working on, so we sat down with him in our badge tree. We have a badge tree that's full of badges, and we showed him, okay, you're going to need this, and you're going to need this.
Oh,
and this
so is that's how he does. So he learns the skills, and these are the badges you have to get to fire-breathing pig.
Exactly.
Perfect.
So he understands that it's going to take some time, but that every time he does one, it's working towards that goal. If his goal changes, that's fine. But the point is that he's controlling his own education, and that's really individualized and personal. So we provide a structure, but within that structure is a lot of flexibility and independence.
So our producer, Karsten Bonney's 9-year-old, is a hacker scout. I think you might know that. What's your son's name?
Zach.
And Zach built all of these on his way up to what? Fire-breathing pig? So he did it. So he started. This was just very simple, right? Just a little Minecraft pillow. It's a cube. And he did some sewing and stuff. And I think the skills that he gained there allowed him to do this. This is what it looks like, just like a, but it's lit up because it's got conductive thread in it. So he's already got some electronics. Then I can't believe he did this. What is this, Karsten?
This is the Hackerling circuit. So when kids join our guild, the first project they all do together is actually that project. It's building an Arduino.
First. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. We have it designed so that the kids get a little taste of each skill. So they move from circuits and components, sensors, LEDs. They learn how to program it. They build an enclosure for it, either on the laser cutter or by hand. And then they sew a leather pouch that attaches to their tool belt. So it's a way to build confidence, have them have a really successful project.
Cool.
And we bring it back in. So the kids who did LEDs used that to power a light show.
Got it.
They also brought it back in to build a robot chassis and had each one of their Arduinos controlling their own robot chassis.
Wow.
So we bring it back in so that they can see that the tools that they make actually have long-term use.
And Zach apparently did all the soldering on this thing, which is pretty impressive for a 9-year-old. Wow.
It was a lot of soldering, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm very pleased to tell you that you have now funded on Kickstarter. You're at $35,150, thanks to our fabulous Twit Army for helping put you over the top. Not that took too much because you were so close, but congratulations.
That is great news. I'm going to post this afternoon that we do have a stretch goal, which is for every $400 that is donated after our goal, I can go do outreach at one school.
Great.
So
our school's pretty open to this. I would guess they are.
They absolutely are. We get requests all the time. I constantly am in contact with teachers and schools and parents who want to bring this into the schools. And so we're working out how best to do that.
Boy, wouldn't you love, don't you feel like grown-ups watching, this would have been so great if you were a kid to be able to do this. Man, I bet the kids are excited.
It's amazing because when they come to our program, oftentimes this is something that they didn't have when they were growing up. And yes. I often hear kind of this air of regret that they didn't.
Yes.
And my answer is always, it's never too late. It's never too late to learn this. I think that you have to sometimes go back and nurture that in yourself. And so if we can help, then that's wonderful.
Carson, did Zach build this too, this trebuchet? Yeah, the first thing he built was this?
Wow. Yeah, I'd be careful because that shoots pretty far.
Whoa! It bounced back. Thank goodness. That is really... And by the way, this is learning. There's a lot of learning that goes on in doing this stuff. I mean, physics, electronics.
Every single project has.
Yeah.
And it's not just science and engineering, but, you know, we promote STEAM education, which is science, technology, engineering, art, and math, that there's aesthetic function in everything that we do. And when we look at what kids need, I mean, this is the foundation of what we're doing. When we look at what kids need, they need to be for the future. We don't need cubicle workers. We don't really need the people who can just follow directions anymore. We need creative innovators.
Yes.
And we need them to be able to adapt to new technology.
Yes.
We need them to be able to value sustainability. We can't just keep making. We're going to have to start modifying in order to conserve resources. And we also see that our society is really going from a competitive market to more of a collaborative market. And so if they learn how to network and collaborate, those things are really important. And I think that, those objectives are what's going to move this next generation forward.
I completely agree with you. And I think this is such a great way to start. And I just love this. Now, you've got a Halloween hack coming up later this month.
I do.
That's got to be fun. Do people come in costume for that?
They do, but I have a feeling that we're going to have a lot of last-minute costumes.
Wouldn't be Halloween without tinfoil costumes.
Which is great. So what we're doing in our Halloween hack is we have a theatrical makeup artist coming to teach how to make yourself look horrific.
Fun.
And we are also doing masks and costumes, either to construct them or to add lighting to them, because a lot of the kids like to make their costumes light up. I have gotten several requests. I did one project where we made wands and the kids loved it. And so I have gotten emails from our scouts saying I have to do wands again. So I will be doing wands again.
Like Harry Potter it's wands.
Right. So what's wonderful about any of this is that you're able to take these bit larger ideas, sometimes even pop culture, and modify them for your purpose. One of the other open labs we have coming up, and this is one of the wonderful things that I get to do, is kind of cross-reference between pop culture, what the kids are really into, and get them interested in these science and engineering mm-hmm. concepts. So, for example, our guild in Oakland has an unofficial Doctor Who fan club. And
of course.
I'm apparently the unofficial sponsor of that club. And so we're going to do this Doctor Who open lab where and the kids are designing the projects. We're making sonic screwdrivers and we're making weeping angels and a TARDIS. I think they decided on a TARDIS light switch made off of the laser cutter.
Oh,
and
fun.
So it's really fun to see them design it. Now, not only are they designing the open lab, but they're actually going to be teaching it. So it's really providing a platform for them to test their knowledge and retain that knowledge, because that's how you retain it, is by teaching it.
So we have viewers all over the world. Paul from Switzerland is watching. Paul Shadwell. He says, I'd love to. Is it possible to set up something how could he get involved in Switzerland? How could he learn how to do something like this in Switzerland? Do you have resources for him?
We have lots of resources on our website. If you go to our front page and click on learning, we have a lot of resources there. And then he can also email me on our website, either info@hacker-scouts.org or sam@hacker-scouts.org. And get in touch with me and I'd be happy to point him to some resources. And we also, like I said previously, are starting to expand. So if he wants to start a group, I can help him with that as well.
Are you ready? I think you've got a tiger by the tail, Samantha. I'm really seriously. I think this could be huge.
We're so excited. We're so excited that it resonates. I think
it's so much more modern than learning to make a campfire. It's so much more useful. I mean, it's great. Go out and camp. That's great. I love doing that. But doing stuff like this too, and I love it that it's STEAM. It's not just STEM. You added the A for art, because this is art. It is a creative expression.
Yeah, I kept saying over and over that people don't come to us because they don't want to go to other organizations like Boy Scouts. They come to us because this is what they want to do.
Yes.
That our world is changing, and this actually aligns more with not only the values but the interests of most children these days. Yeah. And so if you can move them from their, you know, kind of social interests around like video games and shows and move them back into science and back into engineering and show them the function of art and how it creates structure and design thinking for all of those other elements, that it's really important. I also put a lot of thought into every single part of these programs. How do children learn? You know, how do you create the most complex neuron pathways in their brain at this stage of development? How are they developing socially? That peer-on-peer mentorship is just as important right now in this main age group as it is for there to be a mentor that they trust and they work with. All of those things are, I think, what's resonating and gaining popularity with our programs.
Yeah. We're going to take a break, but I you have a map on the website, hacker-scouts.org, locations. Right now it's U.S. only. You're going to have to add a pin to Switzerland, and I think you're going to see that this map is going to get populated very quickly with a lot of interested people, guilds, forming their own guilds and labs and so forth. I think this is such an idea whose time has come. Actually, it's very appropriate. We're going to take a break and talk a little bit about lynda.com. People want to learn. I think that's one thing you find out. People have an almost insatiable appetite for learning new things. Lynda.com is a way you can learn how to use software, how to be better at business, how resume creation, time management, negotiation, how to be a better photographer, how to use Lightroom or Photoshop in your photography, how to develop web pages, how to write apps. Lynda, LYNDA.com. You may remember Lynda Wyman, who was... We'd had her on Screensavers many, many times. She was already writing books about web development and web design and so forth, and started lynda.com as a way to help people reach their goals of learning how to do stuff. Now they have over 2,000 high-quality online courses. You pay one flat fee that gives you access to the full set, which is fabulous. There are new courses added every single day. In fact, they've just added courses this week on web analytics, on creative quick tips, Adobe InDesign, the new Logic 10 Pro, which just came out. They've got a Logic 10 Pro Essentials class. I'm taking a Lightroom 5 class. And when I say taking, this is great because you do it at your own pace. You pick the part of the video you want to watch. They if you don't know where to start, they offer curated playlists that highlight the most relevant courses you'll need to learn a particular skill or topic or subject. WordPress, web design, create a website, find a job, create an animation, how to shoot video with your DSLR, how to edit that video, all sorts of stuff. They've also got, I love this, transcripts of everything. See, this isn't, you know, you could go to YouTube and maybe find a kid that shows you how to do a particular thing, but it's very hit and miss. It's not. This is organized around the best people, and I can say that because I know most of their teachers. Bert Monroy teaches Photoshop. You couldn't learn Photoshop from anybody better but the legendary Bert Monroy. They've got some of my favorite, Derek Story, who's been on this show, photographers teaching photography in Lightroom. And it's just a place where you're going to get great people teaching you. They're beautifully produced videos, and they've got full text transcriptions, so you can go and search the transcription and say, well, I just want to know this one thing, and jump right to that part of the video. I mean, it's just really, really well done. I want you to try it free for 7 days. You'll be able to use all of the videos, look at anything you want, if you go to Lynda, LYNDA.com/triangulation. There's Lynda right there. Hey, Lynda. And once you've tried it out, I think you're going to see how useful this is. We have for years a lynda.com account for our employees who want to learn skills like better editing and things like that. You can watch almost anywhere on your computer, on your tablet, your mobile device. And it will remember where you left off, so you can, you know, you get on the road, you can take it with you. You set your own pace. You learn what you want, when you want. Now, normally it's $25 a month for access to the entire course library. They have a premium plan, which I would recommend, $37.50 a month. That gives you not only all the videos, but all the exercise files. So if you're watching Burt Monroy do a Photoshop thing, you'll actually get a file to download that is the file he's working on. So you can work along with the instructor on the project using exactly the same, you know, layers and everything. But regardless, it's free for the next 7 days when you visit lynda.com/triangulation. I'm a big fan. I've known Linda for years. I've used their sites for years, learned so many great things there. And many of our employees have also done the same. lynda.com/triangulation. Make sure you spell Linda with a Y, will you? And I think you're going to like it. That's kind of appropriate for our Hacker Scouts conversation. Samantha Cook is here. She's the founder and executive director of Hacker Scouts. Right now in Northern California, although there are Hacker Scouts organizations forming across the country and soon Switzerland, I think, I invite you to go to their Hacker Scouts Kickstarter, where they have just minutes ago funded to build a Oakland lab that will be a model for labs all over the country. $35,195, Samantha. That's great. I'm really pleased to see that.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people really want to support this, I think.
Yeah, I think so. We offer all of our programs for free. It's all online, open source, and we really believe in open source. And so we use all open source with the kids, teaching them all about how to access it. And so, you know, our programs are really accessible and affordable.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So to get that kind of support from the community who believes in what we're doing and appreciates the attempt we've taken to keep it affordable is lovely.
Where do you get your teachers? I mean, I know you have the peer learning, which is fabulous. I think there's no better way for a kid to learn than from another kid. But you also have adults who are teaching. Is it just volunteers? Is it parents who come in?
It's completely volunteer based.
Yeah.
Yes. So we when we organize a group, we require two leaders who sign up to be responsible for that group. And then from there, they collect mentors. Sometimes it's parents who volunteer to use their skills. And oftentimes we have very talented parents who come in and mentor. Other times it's very specific mentors for specific skills. For example, we might bring in a leather worker from the community. And we did this in Oakland, actually, where we brought in somebody who's making his living as a leather worker. And he came in and he spent 2 months, you know, working with the kids. Wow. And getting them through that portion of the badge. Or you could do that for programming or any really badge where you can find a mentor in the community who's an expert in something and they're willing to come in for short periods of time. It's really refreshing for the kids to actually learn like that. They get access to a new community member, a new way of mentoring, new language. Because with mentoring, it's not just what they're saying, it's how they're showing the kids what to do, that how to do that skill, or their body language. There's so much that goes into mentoring. It's not just all words.
Right, right, right. It's neat. So it's not just electronics, leather working. That's great. Give me some examples of the badges that I could get.
Right. So, for example, in our last round, we had LEDs, an LED badge. We had a programming badge. We had a 2D to 3D badge. So sometimes the badges are really expected. Like you would expect there to be a soldering badge, an LED badge, electronics. But then other
are there actual badges? Do I get to like wear? Do I get a banner? To put on my chest and put the badge on there?
Well, actually, we hand out tool belts.
Oh, how fun.
But you could wear our tool belt with your badges that you collect, yes.
Oh, that's cool.
Some of them are designed by us. Like, we have a 3D printing badge, but then one of our leaders in Las Vegas, New Mexico, he's actually building out a new badge that takes the Kinect, the Xbox Kinect,
yeah,
and has it scanning the kids' bodies, and then they 3D print a model of themselves out. So that's
wow.
A new badge that came from the interests of the kids. Or the 2D to 3D badge was actually born out of an interest that our kids had in Oakland, where they kind of described what they wanted to do, and then we built the badge around it. So
right.
In the end, they are designing. They're learning how to design in CAD. They're proficient at CAD by the end of it, which is amazing. They're so much better than I am, even. And then they prototype either on the laser cutter or the CNC, whatever they've designed, and then do a final printout, and they have to finish it. So we have a lot of furniture and lamps and that kind of thing coming out of that badge. And the kids are amazing. They have produced these beautiful objects, but the important part is that they went through the entire process, and now they have that skill.
You know, when I was a kid, the kids who took shop were the kids kind of dummies who didn't want to take academic. Now that's the coolest class. This is like shop on steroids. This is like the coolest thing you could do. And these are the smartest kids who are doing this stuff.
Right. But there's really two pathways to that. So even if you don't end up working with your hands down the road, let's say you want to become a programmer, but you still want to get these skills, you still want to make, and it's still interesting
skills.
To you.
Yeah.
You should absolutely. First of all, it is so great for neurological development.
Yes.
And fine motor skills.
Yes.
I mean, it's so good for that.
Ah.
But it also teaches them a process of design thinking, of strategy, of innovation. There's all sorts of things that this is good for. But we also have an economy where light industrial is still really important, but we don't have the workforce.
Highly,
and there are many children.
Highly skilled light industrial is huge.
Right.
And there aren't
right.
enough people to do it.
No, they're all retiring.
Yeah.
And this is a major problem. And in fact, it's a problem that's going on in Oakland right now. And there's a whole initiative called Oakland Makers around this idea that we need to start assisting kids who, you know, they may not want to work in a cubicle or
right.
work with computers. In fact, they would be happiest working with their hands, and we should be encouraging that.
Yes.
That's a wonderful thing to do with your life. And if you're happy and if it's interesting to you and if you're fulfilled by it, then that's the path you should take. So it's about following your passions.
Oh, it's totally cool. And are you getting support from the schools? Are you getting interest from the city of Oakland? How much interest, institutional interest, is there in this?
We've had a lot of school interest, and we're figuring out how best to work with the schools. The main issue is that often schools want to put in a guild program, but they don't have the mentors or the volunteers to assist. Oftentimes it's for an after-school program, and the parents can't volunteer because it's an after school program and they're working.
Right.
So we're figuring out how best to take on that challenge and work it out with them. We have a few schools who are integrating it into the curriculum. So that's really exciting. The other thing we did was this spring, we came up with a recess club for teachers. So it was a simplified version of our Sparks program, which I actually haven't talked about. It's our program for 4 to 7 year olds. And it's a simplified version based on a storyline. And what the teachers were telling us was, could I have something small that I could do?
Right.
And so we came up with this program where they only had to dedicate 1 or 2 recesses a month. That's it. And, or, you know, classroom time, wherever they found the time is fine with us. And it was very simple projects that moved the kids along the storyline and allowed the teachers to bring making into the classroom. And it was really successful. So we're going to go ahead and expand that program.
So Sparks are 4 to 7 year olds.
4 to 7 year olds. So each badge or badge area, because some of the badges don't translate, has its own mini badge, and those are for the Sparks. And 4 to 7 year olds need to be exploring and building confidence and learning about self-direction. And so what we've done is we've started building units for every single badge or badge area, depending on what it is, that explore a concept or skill without requirements in a really fun, developmentally
right.
appropriate way.
Right, because they don't have the physical dexterity yet. They're not going to be soldering at the age of 5,
right.
I
right.
hope.
And there's not much, you know, abstract thinking there yet.
Right.
And
right.
it's a way for them to start exploring and making on a regular basis, because for some of them, twice a month at Open Lab is not enough.
No, no.
And that's okay. So we came up with this idea that we could start building their concepts of self-direction and
yeah.
allow them to move around the badge tree like the older kids do, but still do it in a developmentally appropriate way and in a fun way.
That's what Maria Montessori was teaching. I mean, that was the whole idea of Montessori
exactly.
schools, is you have these works and you do what you're interested in at an age appropriate time because you're directing yourself.
Exactly. And then we throw in a little Reggio Emilia, which is the mentors are documenting what's happening and learning from the kids what's working and what's not, and then documenting that. And then together they all decide what to do next.
This is how schools should be.
It should.
Yeah.
You know, the ability to control one's education and to learn what they're passionate about and to feel confident in that is super important. And our school system really isn't structured for that.
No, it makes me sad that my own children, who are now 18 and 21, didn't get to do this when they were at an age where they would have been so open and receptive to it.
Right. And so right now we're a supplement for that. So they may not get it at school, but they can get it through us.
That's fabulous. So there's the Sparks for 4 to 7. Then you've got Guild, which is the kids 8 through teens. That's weekly. They go and they will learn how to do stuff. They'll earn their badges. They'll work their way up. They'll build their little hackerling circuit like this. And then the Open Lab is for any age. So even an old man can come.
You could come and learn something new. The activities really range from textiles to e-textiles to soldering to engineering. This last Open Lab, we participated in a global cardboard challenge where the kids were designing all kinds of things in cardboard. And then in the next room, they were building real working electric guitars out of cigar boxes. And then upstairs, we were doing some soldering and electronics, and I was also building little portable altars for Dias de los Muertos.
Neat.
So it really is a combination every single time, and it constantly changes. And I always have my finger on the pulse of what the kids are really wanting and upping the challenge, at least in one activity, because we have some kids who are getting quite good, and I want to keep challenging them. We also have parents who come because they enjoy learning just as much as their kids do.
Go ahead.
We also have mentors who come and volunteer with us, sometimes because they have skill and sometimes because they want to learn skills. I have a couple of guys who don't have any kids who mentor. One works in biotechnology and one works at Google. And they come because it's fun and they enjoy it.
I get the sense that this is the kind of open, creative, inspiring stuff that the institutions, the educational institutions, just want to crush because they can't test for it. They can't get government funding for it. It just doesn't fit the box. And yet it is clearly what we need. Let me ask a question. You mentioned cigar box guitars. And, of course, our friend Mark Fraunfelder is a guy who wrote the Make article on that, has built quite a few cigar box guitars. And Mark is one of those guys who's just sweet and open, and you never feel like he'd be judgmental. So I get the sense that that's kind of the spirit of this, that you could show up and be kind of two left feet and kind of a klutz and still be welcomed. Is that the case? I would hope so anyway.
Yeah, anybody is welcome.
Of openness and accessibility and welcomeness?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have boys and girls. We have all ages. We have all kinds of families. We have a very diverse group, and not just in Oakland, but actually in all of our programs. Yeah. We have a very diverse group of families, and we are very clear that we are open and accepting of everybody. I think that what's been interesting is to watch that we have a lot of kids on the spectrum who come to us.
That's interesting. So there might be some autistic kids.
They may not feel comfortable in the traditional environment, but because we're not asking them to do anything that's uncomfortable for them, that they're able to focus on something, because oftentimes kids on the spectrum really like to focus on one single thing. If it's too noisy, we can make modifications so that they can kind of work in their own corner and not be affected by that. We're constantly shifting to make sure that everybody feels comfortable. I think in a larger sense, all the kids feel such a sense of community, like they're not weird for liking this kind of thing because they have a community who's behind them. We recently had a hack together with a bunch of different guilds, some from out of town. And we all came together and made, we had an open lab together, we had a pizza party, we went to the exploratorium, and it was amazing to watch how quickly the kids identified each other as community members, as soulmates. They started, exchanging Skype names and emails. It was amazing to watch that, and I think that that is a larger benefit of being part of a community and building this particular community, is that you don't feel alone.
Yeah, and we nerds and geeks sometimes feel a little bit like outcasts and alone. I suppose that's true even today in schools. And so it's nice to go somewhere where you can have an enthusiasm and not be shut down.
Right. One of my kids has been unfortunately mercilessly bullied this year and last year. And it's been really rough for his parents as they try to work through it. And he loves Guild because he has friends there, that they understand him, that he's never judged, that he's accepted immediately. This is his safe place.
Isn't that great?
And that was, I mean, it makes you want to weep. There was another, I received a letter. I posted it on our website, actually. I got a letter from one of our other scouts. Her name is Hannah. And she wrote me this letter about how she loves Hacker Scouts and all the things she's learned, but that the most important thing she's got out of our program is she has a new view of herself, that she never thought she could do these things. And now she realizes that she can do anything, and it's built her confidence. And I mean, it's just like, I cried actually when I got the letter, because that's exactly why we're doing what we're
doing.
Isn't
this great? Are there a lot of girls involved, or is it all boys? I mean, what is?
No, we're actually running generally half and half, which is wonderful. I'm so glad that I think that part of that is because we're very clear about inclusion. I think another part of that is that we try to balance our activities so that there would be interest. And the third part of that is we have a lot of female mentors who are modeling that for the girls so that they don't feel intimidated by it. Sometimes I've had to do a little work around it. Like, I had a little gaggle of girls who kept coming to Open Lab and wouldn't do any electronics. You could tell that they were interested, but they were a little intimidated by the soldering table and by all the boys at that table.
Right.
And so what I started doing was moving them towards it. And I started doing soldering in a context I knew they'd be comfortable with, like soldering together wire sculpture. Art is a context they were really comfortable in, but it forced them to learn the skill of soldering. Once I got them comfortable with the soldering iron, it wasn't that much of a leap then to get them over to the electronics into kits that they really understood and they could really get behind. And then finally, they were soldering alongside the boys, and it took me probably 2-3 Open Labs to do it, but I got them there. And I think it's that attention to the process and what's important to them and their own feelings on it, you know, being sensitive to that and compassionate to that is what got them there. So
that's really great. Instead of just saying, come on, girls, just go do it, you know, get in there, is to really work with them and get them comfortable with it and involved.
Right.
And then the next time girls come in and there's a bunch of girls as well as boys soldering, it gets easier and easier and easier.
Right. There's no sense in telling them they can do it if they don't believe it themselves.
Right.
And so, when you do it with kindness and compassion and a sensitivity to it, it works out. I have other girls, of course, who blow right by and say,
let me at it. Where's the welding station? Yeah. No, that's great. It gives me such hope for the future. And it's one of the things I've loved about the maker movement in general. And now bringing it in this, I think it needed something like this, which is a little bit more structured and a little bit more pedagogical, so that people get a sense of, instead of just, hey, here's a makerspace, get in there, that there's a process and they're making progress, they're earning the badges. This is so much needed. I'm really glad you're doing it. If it is not too late to help support what Samantha's up to and support the Hacker Scouts. Search for Hacker Scouts on Kickstarter. There are stretch goals to be made. I'm thrilled that you have funded. That's really great news. And I guess with my $100 donation, I'm going to get to go over and play in the lab. So I'm excited about that.
That's wonderful.
I'll bring a few friends. Yeah, I'm really excited. Samantha, it sounds like you're doing really great work. And I do feel like you've got the seed here for something that is going to take off, because the time is right. And I think that parents want this. I know kids want this. It's something we needed.
Thank you so much. We really believe in our vision, and we're working really hard.
Good. Well, you're doing a great job, and shame on the Boy Scouts. But you know what? It's just a name. It's not a big deal. You get a new name, and as soon as you know, we'll let people know. And, of course, people can always go to hacker-scouts.org, and it'll redirect to whatever the new name is. And you know what? The new name's going to be better.
We have some great options, and I'm really excited to, it's an opportunity. I see it as an opportunity. And, in terms of the Boy Scouts, I think it just showed who they are. And
Kind of what I fear is that the institutions that are in charge of education, in charge of molding young people, are not going to are threatened, frankly, by something that is so open and encompassing and exciting, and it's scary for them, frankly. And they've owned this for so long, and so I fear what schools and organizations like the Scouts are going to try to do. But you know what? This is the right thing. This is the idea whose time has come, and this is how we're going to get our kids into the 21st century. So I think.
I think certain institutions are definitely intimidated by it and threatened by it, but I have not found so much that the educational system is threatened by it. So far, our experience has actually been that we are accepted and admired and desired by the schools, and that the teachers that we have contact with are actually really excited about the opportunity to have some support around what they know to be right.
They know,
and they they know how kids learn. They get it, but they're working within a framework that they can't escape. So then if they can't escape it, then they can at least try to, well, they try to hack it, right?
At least, at least recess can be great,
right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, I think people, I think most people become teachers because they care and they really want to teach kids.
Absolutely.
But I think that the system kind of can grind them down and certainly can grind kids down. And so this is a way to open it up a little bit and give them a chance to do what they were they wanted to do in the first place. That's really great. Hacker-scouts.org. Samantha Cook, thank you for starting it. Thank you for keeping that flame alight. And I think it's going to be a very interesting next few years for you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. We're really excited about our future and expanding and reaching really as many kids as we possibly can.
Good, good. Thank you, Samantha.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. We do triangulation every Wednesday right after This Week in Google. Usually that ends up being around 3:30 to 4 o'clock Pacific time. So let's make that 2300 UTC. What do you say? Tune in, watch live. Your questions are very much valued in the chat room. But if you can't watch live, we make audio and video available after the fact on demand. You can just go to twit.tv/TRI and download it. Or better yet, subscribe in your favorite podcatcher. That way you'll get every episode that comes out automatically. Don't forget Kickstarter.com and look for Hacker Scouts if you want to support what they're up to. We'll be back next week. Do we know who we have next week, Carson? Or is it going to be... We lost somebody, so we're going to find somebody. We've got some great ideas for upcoming shows, though. So make sure you tune in each and every Wednesday for Triangulation. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.